All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Yeah, I'm T-Bird. You're listening to the Nasty Knuckles Podcast.
Listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Sotomayor, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer, Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back. What's happening, Nasty?
What's up, Rigorelia? How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, I'm doing well. You awake?
Well, you know I'm awake because you saw what I was chopping.
Some wood?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding. Doing all right, buddy. How about yourself?
Doing pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah. Happy to be back in the stew.
Well, it's nice to have you back. We were wondering if we were going to, you know, you're doing these other engagements, so we're just happy to have you back.
Oh, glad to be back. It wasn't that long.
It seemed like it.
It was six days ago.
It was 6 days ago. It was. When we had the coach on.
Yeah.
Oh, Gabby.
Yep.
Yeah, man. No, missed the men's league game this weekend. I did because it got backed up. So I can't give you shit because I wasn't sitting around for 2 extra hours to wait on it. We lost, I guess. And gave that team their first win.
Oh, man.
Of the year.
It's disappointing.
Disappointing, but anyway, what have you been doing?
You know, just piecing a few things together, getting on some stages.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Just cleaning up all your mess. And,
mine. Yeah, I've been working my ass off getting the website back going. I got that all figured out, and you know, it took me a while.
Any new merch up there?
That's being worked on as we speak. Thank God I got the thing up and running, though.
Oh, God.
I didn't know you were such an IT guy. I do apologize because it was not working properly, and the orders have gone out, so we're good that way.
Good.
I didn't see you order anything, though.
No, you just come right directly to the source.
Well, I know you come ready to go. But, hey, since we were last together, the Flyers have gotten 5 out of the last 6 points.
Yeah.
They had a really, really nice comeback against the Devils. Went to that game, and Forster Tyson started scoring some goals there. Yeah. He's been scoring ever since. He had 2 goals that game. They had a nice comeback, end up losing in overtime. Hughes, little jizzy to his brother.
Yeah.
One-timer, Carter was amazing that game. But to go into Pittsburgh and win that game in overtime, 4-3 actually in the shootout. Forster had a goal and assist. Remained hot. Don't yawn. I see it coming. And then he gets the shootout winner.
Oh, yeah.
Those were good games to watch. And then, you know, Monday night they played Pittsburgh again. Sid, of course, lights the lamp, which you think he's done more than anyone in that center. But Coots ends up getting the OT winner. Great, great sauce from TK. TK had two assists that game. But really good game.
Face-off play. The face-off play.
I read Sandy said he saw the way they were lined up. And with the knowledge that man has, he says, "I'm remnant, go."
Yeah.
And TK went, and seriously, nice, really nice play. And Coots buried it. It was cool to see. I don't know if you saw Lots coming.
Oh, yeah.
The thing. I was laughing. Yeah, that was so great. Sick. I sent him a message. But, yeah, man, they're playing well. And like we said, Forster's, he's scored in three straight.
Yeah. Good for him to kind of
open
it up a little bit.
Yeah.
Find his stride.
Yeah.
I will say on that on that face-off play, I mean, I understand the way they lined up, but realistically, one of those two Pittsburgh forwards should have pulled out.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, 100%. It's probably center.
That's why
center.
You coached, because well, you understand that.
So it's like you just got to pull out. 3-on-3 is a lot of space.
When it happened, I was like, when Sandy got it and rimmed it, you obviously saw the two guys here, and TK took off. So, and I'm like, well, that's set play, obviously. Yeah. But what I mean, even if it wasn't Sandy, it's a great play
for those guys to notice.
Which I don't think Sandy's lying about. He saw that. But great play.
Yeah.
And and you have some veteran guys on the ice there that you would think would not put themselves in that position.
This is like being face-off, right? There's only one defenseman to jump on, right? Why would two guys be standing there trying to forecheck? But hey, that's the game, right? A little brain fart.
Yep.
But smart play and
good for the Flyboys, and also Carter was amazing in that game. He had 31 saves. He was lights out, and Urson was as well. He played really well in Pitt. So they keep this going, like we've been talking about. Man, they kind of are up and down. They'll win a couple, but man, they're hard to play against.
They're hard to play against.
And they're in every game. They're in every game. What'd you think about the? I do want to bring up one thing, like Beezer. You know, Joel Farabee played 56 seconds, and I don't understand that. I'm not a coach. I'm not Torch, but that was a little – I think that's a little
– probably must have been a weak 56 seconds.
Oh, obviously he did something wrong in that 56 seconds, but
yeah.
I kind of felt bad once I realized, because I was at the game and, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind. I remember seeing him early in the game, and I never really thought about it, and then I think Baller sent me something and – I see 56 seconds. I was like, he only played 56 seconds in the third? No, he only played 56 seconds in the game.
Yeah.
And I'm like, leave the guy alone, man. Like, I mean, he's not the only guy that makes a mistake during a game. Like, I don't know exactly what it all entailed, but I thought that was a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I've always struggled with that. That's like the old school way. It's like, it's almost like the coach goes into the game like wanting to prove a point of some sort. He's just waiting for something to slip up. And then he'll kind of pull one of those types of moves. You know, like, no matter how bad your first shift is, like, could you not get the guy out there for another one? Like, just to throw the guy a bone? I understand, like, the whole message sending him all for it, but except for, like, it's got to be some realism in the sport, right? It's, like, it's a tough sport. And if you go out there first shift and it doesn't necessarily work your way, like, you still got a lot of juice left in you. You can really turn the game around, you know, at some point if you actually get back out there. But I understand what he's doing. He's proven his point. And I'm just not sure that is
the ideal way. Right. If he sits him the rest of the period, even, okay.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Hey, but throw him a bone. Or if you do that again, or if someone said maybe they had a meeting about the exact thing and he missed his assignment. It's not the first guy that's done it. I mean, it happens. It sucks. And like you said, I understand you're trying to prove your point, but the whole game, like.
Yeah. And good for Beezer, because he kept a great attitude.
He did.
You know, and that's the rumbling in the media and around town is that, you know, he could easily hang his head and, you know, he pouted.
He could have pulled his head on the glass. That's where he was sitting. Yeah, he was taking his little nap.
But Beezer's got a great attitude, and he does. And he, you know, he was a team guy and sucked it up, and I would imagine that he learned his lesson, whatever it was. I'm sure it was addressed, and he's got to move on. He may as well just play 0 seconds and not get a game play for that. But
yeah, but at least he gets the game.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, boys are hot. Don't want to jinx them because every time we say something that something goes wrong. But they're on a tough little stretch here. They're on the road this
three
week.
Games.
They're in Arizona, which Debo called a wagon earlier. He said these guys are unbelievable, which they are playing well. And then they're in Colorado. Obviously, they're a wagon. They're very good. And then ended up in Nashville, which I think we should make a road trip.
Probably should.
I think we should.
Why not?
Are you allowed?
Well, I think
these two said they were in.
Okay. Well, let's
All right. Well, we're doing it. We're going to Nashville. But tough trip here coming up for them. Hopefully, they can get some points and stay up near the top of the division there.
Yeah. What else is going on in NHL land?
Nikita Zadorov was traded to Vancouver from Calgary. And I know Toronto Baller was saying that Toronto was really hot and heavy trying to grab him. Obviously, they have some defensemen that are hurt, but he got traded to Van. Make them a little stronger. The Hughes brothers played each other last night. It's kind of cool. I watched most of that game. New Jersey ended up winning it late. A lot of scoring, but must be pretty cool. I have a half sister, but it'd be to have two brothers and you play in an NHL game.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's been other guys that have done it, but it's still pretty neat to see.
Yeah,
they took
sure.
a picture, man. Like, and they were showing on the NHL Network when each of them got drafted.
The draft, yeah.
Like, they're so young, man.
Oh,
my
gosh. So excited and raw.
Yeah, exactly. So I was kind of cool to watch that game. But, the one thing is the LA Kings, 10-0 on the road, can't seem to scrape a win together. Will Ferrell's at their game. I don't know if he's fucking them up or what it is, but 10-0 on the road, man.
It's impressive.
I would wear those shiny silver helmets every game, man, to keep winning. Those are pretty cool, by the way. Those are
neat.
Sick. But like Baller said, they haven't lost on the road. That's tough to do.
It's hard to believe, yeah. Well, keep it rocking.
Well, that was interesting. he goes, keep it rocking.
Yeah.
You like the Kings silver helmets?
I do.
What about Flyers orange?
Listen, Chris, I do not. And I keep telling him that. Our buddy Chris Mayer keeps bringing up orange helmets. Have you ever seen an orange helmet? I don't know if I've seen one, Debo, but
it'd throw off the flow.
I told him,
man,
twice, would you stop? And some people are like, yeah, it'd be sick. No, it wouldn't.
Yeah,
it would look like shit.
It would throw
orange
it helmets. It would throw it off. It would look amateur. I think
it would look amateur hour.
Yeah,
that's what I said.
That's what I would think.
And Chris knows that because he fucks with me. He always says that to me.
Maybe get some Cooperalls again.
Orange?
Yeah. Well, no,
let's go
orange,
straight orange.
Let's move past the warm-ups and actually wear them in a full game.
In a game? Ain't happening.
No?
No, you can't.
Why?
Because guys wear pants. They don't wear girdles.
Ah.
Can't put them on. That'd be uncomfortable.
Let's
you
do
saw
it,
them in
do
warm-ups.
It for the outdoor game.
For the whole game?
Why
give
not?
Them girdles. Break in girdles, boys.
Just
someone
for
gets
show.
Hurt, you're screwed.
Just for the marketing of
just
the game.
Just for the marketing, yeah.
Well,
it ain't happening.
No,
not. Orange helmets, maybe, but not.
I hope not.
Pants.
Black stripes? Racing stripes? On the?
Maybe. Maybe. We'll see. We will see.
Oh, dreams do come true now.
They do. Yeah. They do. Can't wait for October.
Oh, man. Yeah, right?
Orange helmets.
Yep. Maybe another lifetime.
Oh, boy.
All right. We're ready, Nash.
Are we ready?
It's that time.
Yeah, you're
episode.
Giggling. We're ready.
Yeah.
You're yawning. You're giggling.
Oh,
you
no,
know
yeah.
It's
not. Just a little extra oxygen.
All right. Let's get after
All right.
It.
One. Episode 137 with our good friend Tristan Grant, T-Bird. All right, let's go. Santa, baby. The season for a fresh cut is finally here with the sponsor of today's show, Manscaped. The leaders in below the waist grooming have just launched their fifth generation lawnmower to help you avoid another silent night in the bedroom this year. That's you, Nast. Take care of your special snowflake with Manscaped and watch your South Pole shine like never before. Get the best stocking stuffer of all time by going to manscaped.com and using code NASTY for 20% off plus free shipping. Mrs. Claus will thank you.
Well, I think she would. And Riles, what could be better than giving a gift of good hygiene and with you, a few laughs because that beard, let's start there, is a little out of control.
Think so?
I know so. And
I don't know any tools that can tackle this.
Oh, yes, you do. You have the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra.
Whew.
And we're going to be using that there. And if you want to keep Mrs. Claus happy, you're going to have to go downstairs too because I think it's been a while for you.
You think so?
I hope not. I haven't seen, but I don't want to see. But I got a feeling you need to get down there and trim her up.
Well,
if you want the pole to shine.
I know you've been all over my beard, man, and I think this might be it.
Buddy.
A little holiday trim.
Oh, it's coming. It's coming. We're going to go right down the middle, so you got to take it off.
Are we going to do it on pod?
Yes, we're going to do it here.
I think we should do it real time, live. Live streaming.
Live one. That's right.
All right. Get 20% off and free shipping with code NASTY at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code NASTY. Say ho, ho, ho to a well-groomed mistletoe with Manscaped. Welcome back. I'm Riley Cote.
And I'm Derek Settlemyer. And this week, Riggs, we are so happy to have a good friend of ours, lucky enough to work with him. You played with him, a former ninth round draft pick of the Philadelphia Flyers, number 286 in the 2004 NHL entry draft. Our man, Mr. Tristan Grant, or better known as T-Bird. T-Bird, what's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Thanks for having me on. This is it's pretty amazing. I've been watching you guys for a while, so I feel definitely honored that you guys reached out and touched base with you guys. Catch up.
Yeah, man.
It's been a minute.
It's been a while. I said, like, before we got started here, I don't know the last time I saw you, T-Bird. You've been hiding, man. You don't write. You don't call.
Yeah.
We talk about you all the time, though. It's funny. And we're like, we got to get T-Bird on here. So
I know.
So,
I went to the dark side of the west side of the league and everything and never come back ever again. So
I know, right? It's crazy, man, but we kept up with you and everything. It's so hard, man. So many guys, you know how it is, man. It's just tough to stay in touch. And so many people like yourself, like, fuck, just when you hopped on here, I got so happy just to see you. You always came to the rink with a smile on your face. Fuck, we had some fun, man. When you came to Philly there, did we ever? Some we can't probably talk about.
No, most definitely. Those are secrets. They go to the grave.
They go to the grave. But it's great. It's great to see you, man. And tell us what's going on. What are you up to these days?
Yeah, not much. I'm just in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I forced myself into retirement in 2018. It's been just kind of trying to figure out life, you know, survive. I got a couple girls, just trying to pay bills and, just kind of enjoy life. It's been a crazy few years for sure with the pandemic and, I got married and I got divorced and, you know, like had kids and it's been pretty hectic. It's been good, but no real complaints. We're all here standing here talking and we're gonna have some good talks about some good times, so, and hopefully make some more in the future.
Yeah, that's right, man.
Yeah, man. Well, it's great to see you, T-Bird. It's again, it's been a minute for sure, and we were roommates back in
the day.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, you guys were roommates.
Some amazing stories and experiences, and man, I mean, I'd like to dig into some of that, but
yeah,
I
absolutely.
Maybe just like you're to talk about working this in reverse. I mean, you retired in 2018. I believe you were on the coast. And mm-hmm. how did the whole decision to retire kind of come about? And, you know, was it on your own terms? Was you kind of squeezed?
It was definitely not on my terms, but, you know, I think like my mind and my body made the choice up for me, I guess, without me even knowing it. My last couple of years, I had some really bad injuries and it was really frustrating for me because like my last kind of full year that I was healthy, I had a breakout kind of career year. I had some more numbers, you know, I was kind of the fights were going down, but the goals and points production were going up. So I was really kind of excited for kind of like a new leg of, maybe stretch out a couple more years of pro hockey, but then I had some bad injuries and ended up just like kind of scratching clawing to get jobs and stuff. And then I actually got suspended. I got suspended for the rest of the season. I never played ever since. So,
oh, really?
In Quad City?
Was yeah. In yeah. Quad City? Yeah.
What'd you do?
what'd you do?
I, I was just on. I went into the Quad Cities. We weren't a very good team, and it was pretty frustrating. You know, like when you see these young guys and things are just different. You know, I wasn't healthy at all either, and after they scored, I kind of like hacked this guy behind the net after he scored, and the ref never saw it. So then I went and went to the face-off, and then this guy comes out, and he's about 3 apples tall, and he's like taunting me to fight. So he kind of drops his gloves, and I was just like, dude, I'm not in the mood for this. So then I ended up just grabbing him, and I clocked him one good one, and he went down. And
Justin McDonald?
Yeah.
We watched that, yeah.
That was it. That was my last hockey play ever. Hey, and off into the sunset I went.
You should have gone up.
Yeah. I should have did one victory lap. Yeah, that was it. That was my last.
That was it, eh?
Yeah, that was it. Man. I definitely drawn it up for sure.
Well,
so.
we were watching a bunch of clips, and and I saw that, and Riley said, well, maybe this guy should have, if he's lipping off like that, maybe be ready. if you're chirping and you're taunting, like you might want to be ready for that right cross coming in there.
Nighty-night
Jim Kite.
I know. He's one of those guys, he did not read the game notes during the game. Yeah. The game.
I saw you were donning the C there.
He was confused by the captaincy. Yeah.
He might have been a little confused.
I know. What a rodeo that was. I was just like, man, I played with three different East Coast teams in like a year and a half, and it was just like, oh, my Lord. I was just like, I got to get out of here. So, and I did. I got out alive.
you did. It was some street credit, too, there. Yeah, right? Yeah, I guess you wouldn't have known you were getting suspended for the rest of the season when you did that. No, what was the actual
Why would it be for the rest?
Said it was like a sucker punch. It was a sucker punch or something like that. I don't know. I was like, all right. I argued it a little bit, and I was just like, good, that's fine, whatever. I was kind of like, I was actually in Canada when I signed that contract, and my wife at the time and my child were like back here in Grand Rapids. So I was just like, man, I need to get like some immigration papers done. So I needed to be back in the country. And I was like, man, the season before I didn't really plan on playing again. I was like, I was kind of done. And I was just like, man, there's only way I'm going to get in. I'm going to have to play another contract. So I was like playing like senior A hockey like out of like my hometown for like a couple of weeks, kind of get back into it. So then I luckily signed with Quad Cities, and I got in, I got my immigration done, and that was kind of it. So it was kind of hairy the last couple of years. So it was kind of just a little disappointed. I've worked really hard to make peace with it and everything, but you know, I was pretty grateful for those opportunities as well. So,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, it must have been a little bit frustrating, you know, like you spent so many years fighting and grinding and then finally get a chance to play and put up some numbers and, you know, thinking you're going to extend your career a little bit, and then it fucking goes down like that. But, you know, so the game is challenging, right? I mean, it's obviously, you know, only so many jobs and always new young blood coming in these organizations, and it's a grind, man.
I remember my first trip, in the East Coast, I was like 30 pounds overweight because I had a hernia surgery the year before, and it like just totally destroyed me. And I had some neck issues as well. And I think my first bus trip ever in the East Coast was from Wichita all the way to South Carolina. We're on the bus for like 32 hours.
Did you start rethinking this shit? Hang on a second, boys.
Oh, yeah. Luckily, the only thing that really saved me, I still had some muscle relaxers and painkillers from like surgeries. And like, so I was just like, holy smokes, man. I was just like, what am I doing? It's like, all right, I got to start making an exit plan way sooner than I thought it was. So I remember one time in juniors, we did the Eastern Swing when I was in Vancouver. And then like our last game was in Brandon. Then our pit stop was Robin Big Snake's reservation just outside Calgary. That was their halfway point, so that was another 28-30 hour trip too. So
was that Apewa?
I definitely do miss those bus trips though. I miss
yeah, they're fun.
T-Bro, I was gonna ask you, you're just talking about junior days, were you 15 when you made it to the WHL? Were you 15 years old?
No, I was 16. Technically I was 16.
Okay.
It was a few weeks before my 17th birthday.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Seems like such a long time ago.
Yeah, right. I just saw that you had, well, 1 year you shared with Lethbridge and Van. So that probably, that's where I got confused.
I played in the Manitoba Junior Hockey League too when I was 16. I actually got cut from Lethbridge and I went back and played in my hometown for the Nipah Natives. That's what their name was at the time. And played junior A. That's a real jungle league right there.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like, oh man, crazy stuff. Then I was fortunate enough that I got called up to the Western League for the remainder of the year and never looked back. So thank God. Yeah. It was crazy. A lot of cold showers in the Manitoba Junior League. So
I bet. Yeah,
water's cold.
Oh my God, there's some fucking holes of towns there. Is the Nipah Natives chat to change their name since then?
Yeah, probably, I think they're the Titans now. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Everyone has to change their names now.
I know. Yeah, I know. Right? Politically correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, man.
Well, you're coming out of junior 2005-2006 season. You joined the Phantoms, and we were just looking at that roster. Obviously, you played Riles. What a group. I mean, holy fuck. Yeah, Josh Gratton, Ben Eager. Wade Scully, I forgot about Scully. He was a psychopath too when he wanted to be. Those guys get going there. I called him Deuce because he had two personalities. You know, he was such a nice guy. And he'd get in a game, that stick would get going in his eyes, and obviously play with Tony Vose.
Yeah, right.
Oh yeah.
But what a group you guys! Boy, there's some penalty minutes.
Yeah,
that crew with Riley. Riley had like 259. I think the only guy more than you was Josh Gratton. And I think you, as a rookie, you had quite a bit. You had about 190, I think.
Yeah.
Which was a lot for a kid coming in. Like, you're playing against men now and expect, you know, I don't want to say expected to fight, but you did when you had to. You knew your role just like the other guys did. But what was that like that year?
I remember my first pro fight was against Mike Scroy in the preseason game.
Oh, no way. It's crazy.
Yeah. And I just got dusted, got up and like, you know, dusted myself off. And then like, oh, okay, that wasn't too bad. Then, you know, I actually remember my very first pro game was in Wilkes-Barre. You know, obviously, and we talk to guys about this all the time, like how that old division used to be like. And I remember we almost had a brawl in the warm-ups, my very first pro game in Wilkes-Barre. And I was just like, holy shit, is this what this is all about? Like, I'm not sure. And I remember sitting around the roster with you, me, Gratz, all these guys, and Gratz like, you're gonna fight this guy, then Riles, you're gonna fight this guy, then T-Bird, you fight this guy. I'm just like, okay, here we go. Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go. I forgot that. About that. We did have some shit shows with them and Hershey.
Oh, yeah. Well, Dennis Bonvie must have been there.
Yeah.
And David Cochy. Yeah. They had a tough team. They had, like, you know, Bissonette was there. And, like, Bone Doctor. Like, Cartner was there, too. Doctor. Carcillo. Like,
Oh, yeah, man. It's different era for sure.
Yeah.
I remember, I hate, I can't remember his name. He was the radio guy, and he did the PR stuff for Scranton. I can picture him right now and my mind's going blank because I'm so damn old. But I remember watching, I don't know if it was the year you were there. It might have been the year before T-Bird, but Max Talbot was playing and we had a 5-on-5 and the poor bastard ended up with Eags. And the gentleman that did the radio was just like Jack Edwards when I'm from Boston. Bruins never lose a fight. They could get knocked out cold and he changes it somehow. And this guy always did that, but it was one of the funniest things ever. Eags is just pounding poor Max. He's got no chance. And he goes, and Ben Eager is absolutely feeding Max Talbot. And he never said anything like that. It was so fucking funny. I never forget that. Even Johnny Stevens was like, I can't believe he said that. Anyway, yeah, you guys were all tough and came to play every night, but what a crew, man.
Yeah.
Place you might remember McDaniels with our boy Danny Moore.
Oh boy.
We put some time in there.
Probably some of my longer shifts I had in my career.
Definitely longer shifts there than on the ice, that's for sure.
I know exactly, right? Never had to change. Never had to come off the ice.
No.
I know. No. It was like so many great times. This is like smallest hole in the wall. play the same kind of cliche music every night. Oh, every time we were there, it's always a Sunday night.
Yeah.
Just a lot of shenanigans, a lot of good times.
Oh yeah.
I tell you, when I think back, you know, my Phantom days, man, that is like, it's one of the first things that comes to my mind, because I mean, we did it every Sunday night.
Yeah.
No matter what, we were there, and that, it was like, you remember that place, it'd get going around 10. It was like they dropped off a school bus of women and girls, and this place is packed. And you're like, I just remember thinking, obviously we always had the day off the next day, or you guys did. But I'm like, do people work? Like, what the fuck is going on here? We're closing that place down at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. some nights.
Yeah.
Like, does anyone work? And then Danny's back there behind the bar. I mean, this guy, he just was nonstop. He still is. I see him a lot in the summer. Down the shore, still doing his thing. Oh yeah, doing a little jiu-jitsu too.
Oh, awesome. No, it's so strange, because we always had like the classic 3-3 in the minors. Yeah. You play home Friday, you go to like Hershey or Wilkes-Barre Saturday night, then you come back for afternoon game on Sunday. then you limp your way into the bar there. Then it's just absolute time class and everything. It's just like
unbelievable, man.
Everyone so just having fun. A great time. Just good, good, clean fun.
Yeah.
Woo. And it was absolutely crammed in there.
Yeah.
Like, wall to wall.
Yeah.
Jammed with people. Just having.
It was awesome.
Having a time. Hey, T-Bird, I was thinking too, to talk about the origins of your nickname T-Bird, because I believe it was in Albany on the bench, was it not, with John Stevens?
Yeah, it was. Because it was like Gratz and Grant was so similar. So I was just like, hey, can you call me something else? He's like, oh, what do they call you? He's like, I don't know. And Johnny, just like kind of on the spot, he's like, oh, T-Bird, what's a guy named T-Bird? It's like, hey, T-Bird, you're up. Okay. It was kind of like that. And then,
it was, right?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. I don't know. I've been called a lot of worse names, but yeah, it's stuck ever since. It's been on my sticks ever since. So
yeah.
Oh, amazing. Yeah. Grant, Gratz. T-Bird. Yeah, you're good. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing how it stuck too.
I know. Everyone went away. So
we were looking at the rosters, you know, from a couple of years there, and Jimmy Campbell, Soupy, came up, and what a beauty. I haven't talked to him in a few years. He used to text me a lot when I was still with the team with the Flyers, and he'd be coming into town with some guys for games. He'd come say what's up, but never forget, he got suspended. I think we were in Canada on a Canada trip, and he got suspended, and we go back for our next home game. I'm sure you remember, and you know, Flex is the mascot, and so boys are waiting to walk down the tunnel, and here comes Flex, goes out there. He's got the flag. Start looking at this guy. The guy that was Flex was about 5'8". Jimmy was about 6'3", so the fucking thing was too small. And it's Soupy. He took the Flex cause. And remember Johnny,
he didn't laugh too much,
but he even was like...
I think he was upset.
He was at first.
Because him and Soupy were going at it.
Yeah, like, they were. Afterwards, I was like, Johnny, that's fucking funny, man. Come on. And he's like, yeah, I guess it's pretty good. But you can tell Jimmy's stride, too.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, it was a pro stride. And, you know, Flex is, you know, stumbling around out there.
There was a lot of beauty.
There was a lot of relics that came through in that, like those short, like 3 years. Because there's just a lot of veterans too at that time. And, I don't recall like the rule at that time, but yeah, there was a lot of like guys that were still hanging around and like, ooh. And Soupy was one of those guys for sure. Lots of character.
We got him in a trade. I can't remember who we got him in a trade for, but I remember him coming and this guy, he's true Boston. Like,
oh yeah.
So funny, man. But I thought about that as soon as I saw his name. I was like, oh my God, I kind of forgot about the old Flex situation. And we had old Mark pass the Cavossier. remember Cavi or whatever we called him? Like, he was a beauty too. We were kind of talking about him earlier. Jamie Storr. He did some things that made me sit down and think once in a while. Some of the shit that came out of his mouth.
He was my roommate on the road for a little bit too, man.
Uh-oh.
It was like daddy daycare going.
Who was taking care of who?
Yeah, exactly.
We gotta get Storzy out, because I was seeing him a lot when I was still with the team out in LA. He's out there doing his, you know, goalie coaching. I think he's got a school or whatever. But I always liked him, man. He was wild. He was pretty wild. Was a, he was a different cat. Wild, bunch of different guys there on that team, man.
Absolutely.
Were you on the squad when Tony Vos, Tebow, got shipped away to eventually Grand Rapids when they kicked him off the team?
I did, yeah. When Shell was the coach and everything. Oh yeah, there's like David versus Goliath, man, in Heights, Texas.
Oh my god.
Oh man, I was just like, that was such a, yeah. Looking back now, it just kind of makes me cringe. Like, kind of like, that was kind of a tough season for sure.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's kind of went off the handle and everything. I think the organization in whole was kind of just struggling and
oh, they were that year. Yeah. Cause that was the worst year in 40 and it was the 40th season of the Flyers and it was their worst hit.
Yeah.
Fire.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Cause Chief ended up coming down back to the Flyers and then Sammy right. ended up being the head coach there.
Yeah. And but that was just, that was rough. Everyone's just grumpy. But looking back now, I was like, what's there to be grumpy about?
Exactly. Yeah.
Did you,
Laura Johnson was there with you, right? For a little bit. Was Laura's there? Laura Johnson,
yeah.
The D-man?
Oh, yeah.
I was telling a story yesterday, T-Bird. I used to come down when Chief was coaching you guys before he came back. Every morning I'd come down and have a coffee with him. And, you know, like you walk through the doors at the Phantoms Inn, and you look right into Chief's office. Like he's sitting right there. So the door's open, and Riles has heard me tell this 100 times, but Lars comes cruising in, just looks hung to the titters, man. Like this guy's so hungover. He was living in the city. He's got a
big
fucking limper in. And he comes walking in and, hey, nasty morning, Chief. Chief goes, hey, Lars. And he's like, stops. He's like, yeah. He goes, you know, I was thinking last night. He's like, what were you thinking? He goes, huh, you should quit hockey. You're awful. Chief says that to Lars. And I just start dying laughing. I'm like, Jesus. And Lars starts laughing. He goes, okay, Chief. And just walked
away.
He's
so laid back.
Just so he didn't give two fucks, man. He says, you're awful. You should quit.
Man. I had him for Secret Santa one year. So I went and bought this biggest, thickest book ever. And I had I wrote like the Three Little Pigs on it because his English was, it just took him forever to get her to roll out a sentence.
Yeah.
No one really got it. It was a little bit like went over his head a little bit.
Yeah. Oh,
but yeah, no, there's Lars. Yeah.
Oh man.
T-Bird, were you around when Dennis Telpeco, remember Dennis, obviously, I think he was out with a few of the guys on the team, smoked a little weed. Got super stoned, freaked out, called Jimmy McCross in. And then, do you remember that?
I do. Briefly.
And then the next day, you know, obviously Jimmy called Homer and then, you know, basically like directly or indirectly, he's landed up suing, you know, a couple of guys on the team and Homer come down to the hallway and said, basically, I know a couple of you guys are smoking weed. I'll be up in my office. You know, you come in and turn yourself in. Do you remember that going down?
I do.
Oh, man.
Poor Dennis.
I was going to say, like, single-handedly did he just, like, sewer himself, obviously.
Dismantled
the squad. Yeah, right? Yeah.
For sure.
Oh, man.
I can't remember if I went up or not. Probably not. I never liked going into Homer's office. It's never good.
Yeah. You're certainly not going to turn yourself in with smoking with the boys.
No, for sure. Exactly not. You're going to have to prove it. I think the first time, there wasn't a lot of good meetings with Homer, for sure. Oh, man. Yeah, Dennis, yeah, just had a complete meltdown panic attack.
I was like, dude, I'm like, because I ended up talking to him after. I was like, man, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, you know, either smoke a little less or just like let it. Yeah, I know. I don't know. You know, like you're not dying, man. Buddy. You don't call the trainer and tell him you're freaking out on Devil's Lettuce. You know, like
I remember we were talking about this too, T-Bird, when you and Riggs were living together and I think it was a Sunday day off. I guess we were probably going out later or something, but it was actually a day off though. We didn't have a game because it was daytime. And Riggs was like, we had seats of mush and then, you know, come over to be a T-Burg. We're going to eat. So I was like, all right. So I head over to the apartment over in Voorhees And I can hear this fucking music, Jaws blaring, Motley Crue, Thinkers Motley Crue. So I'm fucking banging on the fucking door. I could barely hear Roy and Rain. Yeah. The fucking dogs. They were like rats chirping. And Riles opens up, and I could tell he was on Pluto. And I'm like, you guys wait on me? I'm like, where's T-Bird? He goes, in his room. And about an hour later, you came out, and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Just listen to music, bro. This fucking sounds so good. And I'm like, you guys couldn't even wait on me, man? Like,
what the You're fuck excited, Nas.
I know. So I just sat there and watched you guys and didn't even eat any mush.
No?
I don't think I did. Well, you guys were so ahead of me.
I didn't want to fucking start. It would have taken a while to catch up.
Yeah, it would have. But you love 80s music, huh? Like, do you I like that you love that because it, like you said, it hit the bar.
Oh, absolutely. No, I still do. I always crank it. Like, my kids, like, they always listen to this kid stuff anymore. And every once in a while, I was like, no, we're not going to listen to that. We're going to listen to Hair Nation today.
Yeah. Hair Nation.
And
yeah.
It was like my 2-year-old to get the head bobbing right, hits it right. So.
Yeah, that's right. They like it. That's all right.
No, it's good. No, I actually remember that day quite well.
yeah.
That was crazy. No, that like we drove down to the shore to get
those right. That was the one, right? Yeah.
And we had like a big serious warning. It's like, whatever you do, don't just wait till you get home to take these. We get like 50 minutes out heading back home. We got like an hour drive. Riles, you're like, fuck it. I'm going to take them. I'm like, all right, how much should we take? He's like, I'm going to take all of them. And I know we crushed a couple beers with them as too. And at that point, I think I did mushrooms once before. And then, I don't know, an hour drive turned into like 2.5 to get home. Like,
oh, a couple pit stops. We got lost, I think.
Pit stops, like, yeah.
But it was funny as hell. You got lost, but you were laughing your ass off.
It was a wild adventure. I remember the energy. We were like doing push-ups air punches and
sweat on and everything. That was great. I remember I called my uncle, man, and I told him what's going on. He's like, oh yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Oh man, oh my god.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. So 2006-07, you get your first call up to NHL, and you ended up playing, I think, 8 games that year with the Flyers. But you remember your first tilt? You remember your first tilt in NHL?
I do, yeah.
Andrew Peters, you had a pretty good damn showing, too. Yeah, pretty tough showing. Man. He was established.
Yeah, and he was a tough guy. I later played with Pistol when I was in Rochester momentarily, too, and everything. He was a great guy.
Oh, did you really? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I was in Rochester for a hot minute. Yeah, and I played with his older brother too in Milwaukee, Jeff. So Andrew was a great guy. I've been trying to actually talk to Jeff a couple months ago. He randomly called me, and I was like, "How's your brother doing?" I owe him a phone call, and he's one of the nicest guy. But it was kind of, you know, how it's funny how those stories come like full circle. You know, you have your first NHL fight, and you're hanging out with this guy. I've had a couple beers with him, and everything. He's a great human. So huge human, big
he's
man.
Big, yeah, he's big. A big man.
Yeah, Riles had a couple tillies with him too. Actually,
super friendly though. Like as you mentioned, I don't know him, you know, off the ice besides a couple conversations. But yeah, he was always like,
he's a big goof. He's a big goof. Yeah, good heart. Yeah, big tough guy though.
Yeah.
Sorry, knuckleheads, for the quick break, but we have a very important message from our sponsors from Game Time. Riles, you know when you're going to buy tickets for a concert or a game, any sporting event, you ever had a time when it's been frustrating?
Oh, yeah. I remember getting ripped off for tickets one time.
I've had the same thing happen to me, and I'll tell you what. Well, that's one thing you shouldn't have to worry about when you're buying tickets for your next big event. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all sports, music, comedy. They have killer last-minute deals, all prices, views from your seat. They do everything for you, and the best price guaranteed.
Without any worry about getting shafted.
Exactly. The good thing about Game Time, Riggs, is they are obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. With Game Time, they even have deals on tickets right up to the beginning of an event, even an hour into it. if you, for some reason, you want last minute tickets for something. And the one great thing is you get the game time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference.
Wow, what a deal.
It's pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Riggs, you're going to have to take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NASTY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NASTY, N-A-S-T-Y, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest prices guaranteed. And that's gametime.co.
Let's get your tickets, Nast.
Do it. I also saw it, which I was kind of shocked. I was telling Riles, so you fucking fought Nasty Morasty.
You had
Tilly with him. And oh, I think it was an NHL preseason game.
Yeah,
if
it was
not
a preseason
mistaken.
Game.
Dude, yeah. You guys went for about a minute straight. What did like his head? Is it just as hard as like a block wall? Like, I mean,
it's like a fortified giant cantaloupe like, with brass casings on it.
Yeah.
I actually fought him in the Western League for the first time too. You know, while I was 16, he was in Tri-Cities and, you know, all the 20-year-olds like, oh, you know, like I was just a young guy. I was like fearless. I didn't know any better. You know, I was like, hey, oh, you're going to fight Nasty Morasty. He's like, who's that? So then I, you know, I look at the game sheets. I see him in warmups. This guy's like 5'5". Like,
yeah, I know.
So I end up fighting him. And I actually had like a quite similar fight in junior hockey as I did in that preseason game. But like in that preseason game, I don't know if that was in Nashville or Columbus. But before the game, Barry Trotz, like, he's like, don't fight this guy. I'm like, what am I supposed to do, Barry?
Yeah, like, I know. That, right? Yeah.
It's like, I'm not going to put up 3 on the power play today. Like,
are you putting me on the power play, Barry? Yeah. Johnson, yeah. Am I on the PP today? Because if I am, that's a different story.
Yeah. It was, it was great. Yeah, he's a great, tough, what a tough guy.
Yeah.
Super tough.
I don't know. I just get a laugh. I don't know if you watch that show, Shorzy.
Oh, yeah. I just finished it like last week because I was dying to watch it. It was a pretty funny show. And, you know, my relationship to like my short senior career, I was just like, that's pretty accurate. So,
is it really? Because I know.
Well, like the caliber isn't as good. Like, you know, in Manitoba, there's a couple good teams of senior league in Manitoba. But yeah, it's pretty, a lot of shenanigans for sure to say the least. So.
Because I know Pistol, Pete Vandermeer. Plays still, and I know Ryan Bass. I'm not sure if you ever played with Beast. You probably remember him as a player, but Ryan Bass was playing last time I saw him. Still, he said it's pretty competitive, but he's out in Edmonton. He's out there.
Yeah,
but
I got called like I think the year after retired, a team out of Winnipeg was trying to recruit me to go play because they're trying to load up for the Allen Cup.
Yeah,
that's a big tournament. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah. But that was hilarious. I played with Dolo too. I had him as a rookie.
Really?
No way.
Yeah.
No way. Oh my God. That's
it's
great,
so crazy,
man.
seeing him on the show now and everything. But that's,
I know,
his character is pretty accurate to what he was as a player.
Really?
As a person, yeah.
Yeah. That's hilarious, man. I guess, what's his name? Nolan.
Jordan Nolan.
Yeah, Jordan Nolan is on there, man. And I'm like, and he's like, there's three. You haven't. This guy hasn't watched it yet, but Nasty Morasty is one of the gyms. There's three gyms.
Yeah.
And they all want to be called Jim. So they're like, Jim, Jim, Jim. And Nolan speaks the most. Like, it's so
funny.
He's
the most intelligent Jim.
Well, Nasty Morasty just goes, yep or nope. Yeah. He doesn't really talk, but he's in the whole thing. But it just makes me laugh because I remember we had a game at the Skate Zone against Norfolk, and they were loaded. They were tough. They had, you know, they had all those guys, and Nasty Morasty was at camp with them, and we had a 5-on-5. Lit started it. Neil Little started it, and it was a 5-on-5, and he ended up grabbing poor BJ Abel.
Oh, yeah.
And luckily for B, he's right out of college. Right? He's fucking never been in a scrap in his life, you know, like. BJ, I love him. He's an accountant or something, you know. Like,
right.
He's crunching numbers, you know. Like, but he grabs him, and it was right at the bench. And I'm just like, I remember people talking about Nasty Brassy. I'd never seen him, but I knew about him. And I'm like, oh no, we're going to be taking poor BJ off in a stretcher here. And Morasty like started like jerking around, and BJ must have, his eyes were probably this big, and he actually let him off the hook. He goes, you ever done this? And he's like, no. And he goes, just hang on. And he let him off the hook. And he could have hurt, like,
oh, for sure.
And he's trying to make the team. Like, he could have beat the shit out of it, because BJ dropped his gloves like a dummy. I ought have had my stick out here.
Oh, man.
But I'll never forget that. But yeah, I saw one of your fights with him. I was like, wow, I didn't even realize that you played against him.
I played junior with him.
You did? Oh, I didn't.
For a year, yeah, man. I mean, talk about.
Really? How did I not know that?
Yeah, man. For a full year. Yeah, he was, I think he was maybe even 17 years old, but he fought like the Steve McIntyres. He fought the biggest dudes you ever imagined. Just loved it.
How
can
you? I've
never seen a guy love fighting more than this guy.
I don't even tell.
Like, love. Like,
who's that Jablonski guy? Isn't that his cousin or something? They must have had 50 fights. They fought in an outdoor game in Syracuse.
Oh,
it was fucking right. Minus 10.
Oh. Yeah, blow for blow, I'm sure.
Oh, it was blow for blow. You could see it on YouTube. But yeah. Anyway, you also, I saw on your fight card, Revo.
Oh, yeah.
Ryan Reeves. You had a really good fight with him. I think he was... He was St. Louis.
Yeah, he was in Peoria. He wasn't fully bloomed yet.
Yeah. you taught him the old-fashioned way, it looked like.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just like give him a good old-fashioned ass-whooping and then send him on his way.
Yeah, for sure. Actually, it's so funny. Ironically, I had old GM Ryan Martin. He didn't send me the video, but he's like, I never seen this fight of you before. It's like, this is amazing. Some of his players, he's an assistant GM of New York, and he's just like, oh, that's awesome stuff. And you know, he's like, you know, Revo's like the big dog now and everything. And I was just like, yeah, it was different times back then, and you know, experience goes a long way. So yeah, there was a lot of tough guys, a lot of guys I kind of wish I never did, but
yeah, right.
You survived for sure.
It's a tough job what you guys did, man. I'll tell you that, man. It's we have a lot of guys on to talk about it. Riley talks about it a lot, but not an easy job, man.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
I think the hardest thing, like towards the end of my career, like when you're like the older guy, and then all these young guys full of piss and vinegar, like oh yeah, okay. Then you got to really be on your toes, because like there's no history. You don't know what this guy can do. You know, you don't know what he's capable of. And that's what, like, it's different when you go play against like a division guy, like say like someone like Dennis Blondie. You know, you see him every other 2 weeks, and you know, you could see what his tendencies are, what his patterns and everything. And but like when these new guys come in, like you don't know anything. And especially like my biggest like fear was like getting fined was like losing fights, because you don't only let down yourself, you let down your teammates.
Yeah,
like that was the greatest. And then like you definitely don't want to lose to like one of these young pups, you know, because you know exactly how it is, you know, because the roles were reversed at one point in your career. So that gets tough. Like remember, like the longer you play, and then like these younger guys are coming up, they're chomping at the bit is the same way that we were. So you know, it comes, you know, the full circle of life and everything. But that's when it's really, really hard.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, totally. You know what? I didn't get a chance to really experience that. I ended up retiring in 28, and because I saw the writing on the wall, I was probably going to get sent down and dealing with exactly what you're talking about. I mean, it's got to be challenging. Like a completely different mindset. Like when you're up and comer, like he's talking about being fearless. Like you're willing to do anything, fight anybody, no questions asked. And even if you lose, it's like you're unfazed by it. But as you get older, I remember, you know, challenging older guys, and you could just see it. Like they're not scared of you, but they're like, no. They certainly don't want to be dusting it up as often as, you know, we were at a young age, but like, there's that fear. Yeah. It's like the pride. It's like I really don't want to be doing this. And, you know, these guys, you know, you have to learn how to pick your spots a little bit better. But I mean, I can imagine how tough that got to be, because you were on the other side, as you mentioned, like always wanting to scrap, always challenging the other guy. Now you're the guy that's like, that you were getting frustrated with that was turning you down. Like, no, I'm not fighting you, you know, and now you're like, you know, it's a completely different mindset. And I think this is when guys get, no, I wouldn't say get hurt, but like, you know, like you're no longer like in that, you know, that prime fighting shape mentally and physically. And like you said, like, you're not even sure what some of these guys are coming with.
Yeah. No, towards like, yeah, like you hit it right in the head there. Cause like the level of anxiety I had like towards the end of my career, you're just like, you know, you've probably been tagged a couple times at this point. Like you've been, you know, physically hurt, but like, yeah, for me, like mentally, it was just like, you know, I remember like you, I remember you and me, like go to, you know, you get like, you know, hammer a couple power gels, you're drinking Red Bulls and taking some Sudafeds to get any kind of edge to get right up for these fights and stuff like that. And it was so much easier back then. Now you're just like, you come to the rink and like, oh, okay, like, what am I going to do to survive today? You know, like, oh, I just want to play. I remember Dennis Bonvi, you would always meet before the games in the hall and he'd be like, you know, I don't know if I'm going to go tonight, but it's like a little
shoulder. I was getting ready to say that. It's so funny you said that.
And then like, sure enough, like you finish a check on me, he'd be like, motherfucker, you didn't
let's
fight
go.
This guy.
Oh yeah, right around.
Exactly when he in the hallway.
Wheels,
you know,
falling off the carriage.
Yeah, he's like, boys, my hand. Look at my hands. Shoulder's gone. Fucking second shift, Eddie.
Yeah, he's an exception to the rule, though, Bones. He was an exception to the rule, though. This guy, he secretly loved it, just like Meracity. Like he like he couldn't help himself. You know,
he did it for a long time.
Oh my gosh!
Like, I'd like to know how many actual fights he had.
Oh,
like,
he had like
it's 300
pims plus every year. Like,
but you're
30
right, though,
fights T-Bert. A year.
I was gonna say that, but it's so funny you brought that, because he would be like, yeah, the wheels are falling off, boys.
I remember using those same tactics when I was in those two. Yeah. I was just like, ooh, I don't know, like a little jersey burn on my neck. I don't think I'm gonna go tonight, boys.
Oh my arm.
We had some really tough teams in Milwaukee too. We had like Scott Ford, Nolan Yonkman. We had like a young, you know, Kelsey Wilson. There was me, and they're like that. Surprisingly, like, you know, it's funny because guys I played with that came into the spectrum, you know, I was like, man, you have no idea how intimidating it was. It was like one of the last rinks. He actually drove into the gates of hell, into the spectrum with
yeah,
the bus
that's right.
and everything. And it's like, you guys had always had loaded up teams with like meatheads and everything. And it was just like, you get the Philly flu. And those are my funnest teams that I played on for sure.
I remember Ryan Reddy. We had Ryan Reddy, and whoever his buddy was the captain of Cincinnati. And make a long story short, they were on their 3rd and 3. They come in on Sunday night and he's telling Ryan Reddy, he says, man, he's like, before the game, they were chit-chatting, you know, and he says, dude, we came in here, it was like 3 a.m., the fucking building's dark, it looks like there's blood and scratches on the wall, which obviously there's
like
not.
Haunted, yeah,
it's
right?
Like, everybody's like carrying their bags and they're fucking already scared. And he says, before the game, he goes, boys, 3rd and 3 nights, fucking mind your business. They got all these guys down here, fucking nothing stupid. Let's play the game, get the fuck out of here. So he says, first shift, some rookie fucking runs somebody. Josh Gratton's fucking smoke's coming out. Oh, I grabbed. So there's just all these fights. And he says, I can't remember who the captain was of that team, but he says he goes into the room and he just flips the table over. You dumb motherfuckers. You woke them up. It's Sunday at 5. We've had 4 fights. I said, don't do anything. But you're right about that spectrum, man. Guys, we've had other guys say like it was an intimidating place to play.
Oh,
for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah, I definitely feel blessed like to play in that rink. Yeah, it's funny. Like I remember I scored my first pro goal there and everything too. And, oh, it was just it's nothing else like it. It was a sad day when I heard that they blew it down. And
it was tough to watch that, man. I, you know, I grew up, my dad was the trainer with the Flyers. So, I mean, yes. I was in that building from time I was 6 years old up till, you know, when the Phantoms left and they knocked it down. It was tough to see, but great building. It people right on top of you, like right on the ice. And I remember our first cup we won in 97, 98. I mean, it was sold out 17,380. And I mean, it was loud, man. It was really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But speaking of winning the cup, you won the Calder Cup in 2012-13. What a team you guys had there. I was like looking at your roster, man. You had Nyquist, Tatar, I think Riley Sheehan, Mrazek. Mraza, we had him here in Philly a few years ago. He's still going, yeah. Man. He's playing well in Chicago. But, yeah, tell us a little bit about that. That must have been unbelievable because we were lucky enough to do it a couple times.
Yeah, I know. No, that was pretty sweet. You know, like we kind of, I don't know. Like, yeah, I got called like July 1st to go sign with them. So I did. I was just like, I always like playing in Grand Rapids and being in Milwaukee. Like, I always love playing Grand Rapids. It's a great, you know, I knew it was a great city. You know, they had good fan base and everything. So you're playing against a lot of like kids or college kids and people every night. And I saw there's a couple other veteran guys that I actually played with or battled against the years before that. But that was a lockout year as well. I think there was a lockout halfway. I think there was a
halfway. Yeah, the halfway one. That's right.
Yeah. So that was there's a lot of talent in not only, in the American League that year. And, you know, guys like Nyquist and Anderson, but Jeff Blaschel was a fresh new coach and everything. And, I think we started the season like 2-7 or something like that. And we kind of just turned it on. And, it was a great group of guys. We had like a lot of cliques. You know, we had the older guys here, and we had like the Czech mafia over here and everything. Then we had the young and dumb guys over here. But like when it was game time and it was really time to like settle in and get along, and it was just, we all bind, and it was a great guy. We had a great team off ice antics where everyone was always involved. And that was like one of the best teams I ever played for sure. Played with, you know, a lot of good groups, but man, a lot of good players too. Raza still in his head. You know, he was a great goalie. I think he got sent down to the coast out of camp.
Wow.
He played in all three leagues. I'm pretty sure he played in all three leagues that year. I think he played in the East Coast and the NHL and the American League. So,
jeez.
Just winning it. You know, I never won before. You know, like it was pretty crazy. I think we played 100 games that year. Wow. With regular season and playoffs and everything, it was definitely a grind. I think I had the craziest playoff beard, and I think our last game was like June 22nd or something like that. It was just
it better than Dogs, our boy?
No.
Dogs got the beard, eh? He's like, yeah, kind of like, you're trying to catch Riggs. I'm gonna shave this fucking thing off, T Bird. He's gonna kill me. I'm gonna take this thing and just zip.
Try it.
But yeah, nothing beats winning. You know, it was such a good time, man. It's like you know, that's what I probably miss the most out of hockey, is playing like the very, you know, meaningful games. You know, the big games. You know, whether you're trying to get into playoffs or, you know, maybe putting a heater on or winning a championship. It's like those are the nerve wracking games that I remember. Like I remember, like, you know, like, but there was like 11 seconds left. We're in Syracuse and. You know, we're up a couple goals, and like when you finally realize like you're about to win, you're like, it's like a feeling that I never had before. And it was a pretty fun ride. We had just had a great group of guys, and it was an unbelievable experience. So
you guys went up 3-0, right? You went up 3-0 and you lost the next two, where you're like, uh-oh, we're fucking in one here. Like that's a little nerve-wracking. Three.
Yeah, I think with the travel went 2-3-2.
No, you're right. It was 2-3-2. You had a chance to win it at home twice.
Yeah,
you went up 3-0. I know. And I saw that today when I was looking. I was like, oh man, you imagine you're nuts. The guy's nuts must have just been BBs, man.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're like, 3-0. You never know.
Van Andel's just absolutely packed. There's like this standing room only, and it was this buzzing and everything. And I Yeah, I remember that was everyone was pretty pissed off because everyone's kind of had things lined up, you know. Yeah. Like, hey, what are we gonna do after the game after we fucking win?
Exactly.
Then we had to hop on. We actually took the Red Wings plane into Syracuse.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice.
So we did that. So then, actually, when we won. We took the plane back. So we're back in Grand Rapids within an hour. And that year I did the old cliche, like, you know, hey, stop the bus. Do you remember to pack the 2 points? So I did the thing for when we had the Calder Cup. I got on the phone and the telephone. And I'm yelling at the pilot, stop the plane. Did you remember to pack the fucking Calder Cup? And everyone's going screaming, and the stewardess are like, oh, he can't do it. Get off the phone.
It might be. Yeah. Now we know you can use the phone.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Just buzzing the tower and everything. Yeah, it was fun. Like, we got like this little like police escort back when we got into Grand Rapids, and just like the party, like, just started for a good couple weeks anyways. So
yeah,
it was a good time.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, how different is it playing the exact same sport on a winning team versus a, you know, an average or below average team, and just like the grind, and just like how different of a mindset it is, hey, especially when you're tilling it up every other game. They're just like being those situations are just it's tough, man, isn't it?
It is tough. I was lucky. I played on a couple good teams. You know, we had good teams in Milwaukee and the Euros in Oklahoma City. We lost in the conference finals too. So we had some really good teams, but there are some teams, like I was in Rochester, we were just absolutely awful, like, and just terrible. And it's just like, I was like, I used to love like being, you know, one of the first guys to the rink, but during those years, they really test, like, it's like, how much do you really love this game?
Yeah, right.
Sometimes it is tough. It sucks. You gotta, you know, you got some, you know, and it spreads like a virus very quickly, because, you know, if you're grumpy, you know, there's a handful of other guys that are grumpy too, because no one likes to be on a shitty team and things aren't going your way. Usually if you're a bad team, like, someone's letting in too much goals, you're not getting any points, or like guys are hurt, and it's just like, yeah, it's a drag. It's tough. It's tough for sure. So, but you can't have good years without bad years. So
that's right.
Yeah,
true. Yeah, yeah. It is what it is. So it's nature of the beast.
That's it. Well, we talked a little bit about your first NHL fight and your first, you know, say 8 games in NHL. I mean, can you talk about, like, obviously your dream growing up was to play in the NHL. You're drafted by the Flyers. I mean, you were a tough guy in juniors. You transitioned to the pro level. Just like how meaningful that was for you and your dream.
Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy, you know, like, you know, it was, I just remember for the longest time, I just like, I feel even to this day, I'm blessed. And at the times you kind of feel like, you know, it kind of came up a little bit short here and there, but like, that's when I really realized when I was playing the last couple of years, like, these guys have been playing in, you know, the minors, you know, or like even like the East Coast for 8-9 years, and they never had, you know, like a game in the NHL, or you play with guys like that just never really got a sniff. And, you know, I know those guys would do anything in the world to get the opportunity I had. And, I feel really, really happy I got the opportunity to do that. You know, my parents came down, my uncle came down, you know, like, it was a pretty special moment. I remember when Homer came down, you know, came down the hall, and you know how the setup was. He's like, all right, you walk through the doors, he's like, all right, now I'm in the NHL, you know?
Yeah, I know, right?
You walk 10 feet into another door and you're in the NHL.
The other time when I got called at the Nashville, it's like almost like a panty. You got to get undressed. You got to go run to the apartment, go pack a bag, make sure you got everything, get to the airport, you know, like,
yeah.
So yeah, it was pretty amazing experience for sure. And I feel really blessed. I have a lot of friends that never got an opportunity to play even one game. I know, like, you know, 30 years ago, someone said, like, hey, you could either play 0 games or 1 game. Like, what are you going to choose? You're going to choose 1 every time. So it was crazy. And I was lucky I played long enough. You know, I had, you know, played for 12, 13 years, and, you know, it's not bad for a guy who's like, you know, the last draft pick. And I remember that, I remember the first summer camp I did in Philadelphia. I got on the plane and, yeah, you know, I'm like 18, 19 years old. And I remember, like, once everyone got gathered up, I think there was like 30 of us players there. Jim McCrossin's like, all right, It's the end of July. No excuses. We're going to do like a 5-mile run. You got to do under 35 and a half minutes. And I was just like, at that point, I was just like, well, I don't think I really want to play hockey that bad.
I'm bowing out.
I remember that. Yeah. So I remember that. And for somehow, the hands of God, I think I snuck. I got in with like 35 minutes flat or somehow. I did it. But I was hurting. But I remember that it was just like, it was like the survival of the fittest. It's like guys were dropping pretty quick after that. And
yeah,
that was kind of the beginning of that, of my career. I was like, all right, do you really want to play hockey? So
now it's the last thing they want you doing is pounding on cement for five fucking miles.
I know.
Sprints, and
it was a different animal back then. They were just trying to get guys to break. It didn't matter. Yeah, it had nothing to do with hockey. Yeah.
Oh, I know. I needed it for sure. Like, I think when I lost like 15 pounds during that week of there, I'm like one of the last guys standing. Just beat this shit, you know? Yeah, I remember we had to do that, like that 3-mile run and stuff.
It was a challenge, man.
Those runs and stuff, even like when I didn't play hockey like you guys did professionally, but like even in soccer, basketball, it's the mental part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I got to do it. I got to make it. Fuck yourself up.
The buildup, yeah. Just, wasted energy.
You know, it's wasted energy. Totally. Worrying about it. I work with a junior team here, Philadelphia Rebels in the North American Hockey League. And, they had to do a run this year, and it was a tough one. Ended up being 3 miles in a certain amount of time, and they were just the mental aspect of it. I'm like, you guys gotta like stop looking at it. Like, I know what you're thinking. I was there in college and stuff, but they're running without headphones. I'm like, put some damn earbuds in so you don't hear yourself, breathing so fucking hard. Because I even did it back then. We had a cassette, you know.
Oh, cassette, yeah. Right.
Put your hands up, but that way you couldn't hear yourself breathing.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, that stuff. They don't. It's not as bad now.
I mean, it's
different test.
Yeah, different. Anyway. It's all on ice for the most part for the conditioning part, anyways.
Exactly.
The Tortorella.
You wouldn't want to be in the Tortorella first day of training camp. These guys look like they're gonna die.
Yeah.
They're dead.
You might want to go through the 5-mile run.
Yeah, you might rather do the run than what he's doing.
Yeah, I've heard. I heard it's tough. It's not a cakewalk.
No.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Do you watch hockey anymore?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. I try to for sure. Yeah. It's I used to go to Grand Rapids games for sure, but I haven't been able to get down there this year yet. But I went to last year. I went to a couple games, and like I'm not saying this because I spent majority of my career in the American League, but I don't know. The product was just so, I don't know. It wasn't great. There's not really a lot of passion. Not because there isn't any fights or anything like that, but it's just like, I've heard a lot of other coaches say this too. It's just like, yeah, it's more like a glorified junior league at times. With the minors and everything. So I don't really, I'll get to some more games this year, but yeah, I still love, and you know, we still meet up with a couple buddies. We have a couple beers and watching some games online, and it's great. You know, it's so fast now. I'm just kind of hurting my hamstrings just kind of watching it now, but it's great. Yeah. You know, it's nice to see like the Flyers are doing better, and there's some teams that are, it's good. Like I was like, you know, I love McDavid, you know, I'm still,
yeah.
I actually went to I was in Vegas when Washington won the cup too. I went to that game.
Way.
So, you know, like I'm still going for Ovi and like Sid. I still love those guys because those are guys like from my era. Like those are my you know, those are the best players for my time. So I'm still cheering those guys on you know, I love seeing them have success, and it's pretty neat to, you know, be somewhat of a part of that, and I still love it. So
yeah, I, you know, speaking of that, them winning the cup there, I think T-Bird was beside that woman that you see up against the glass. Is that you, T-Bird?
Yeah.
You remember that? I was like, whoa, wait a minute here. I don't think
Bird cost you a lot of money.
They didn't toss you out, though. They didn't toss you out.
No.
Oh, man, I'm kidding, but. Yeah, I tell you what, Sidney Crosby's still doing it, man. It's crazy. Yeah. They just played the Flyers last two games here back to back. Flyers actually beat them both times, but Sid manages to score every time he's in Philly. I'll tell you what, man, he's just a hell of a player. It's fun.
Yeah, no, it's fun. It's a fun. I'm a big McDavid fan as well, and still hate the Maple Leafs, so I'm still.
Yeah, McDavid's got a stride. I compare him to you a lot when we're right? talking. Like
open ice.
Speed. Yeah.
I think mine's just a tad longer and quicker. Maybe. We're the same transfer.
Yeah,
same build, same.
God. Yeah.
Same length.
T-Bird, first time I saw him live, obviously playing against us. Dude, it just doesn't make sense how fast this guy goes. Aliens. Like there's a few guys like that in the league, but he's just, his hands go as fast.
Well,
as
that's it, right? Your hands can keep up with that speed.
But yeah.
More like, like when I stick handled, the puck was square by the time I was in end of the shift, you know.
Oh yeah.
Well, you should see this guy just lights up men's league now. Like he's a lover. Fucking numbers guy. He's only played two games this season. I think he's still leading the league and he only played two.
You don't got to be worried about dusting it up, and you can play power play time.
Yeah,
and,
he's on the PP.
It's awesome. You don't have to forecheck. You don't have to finish checks. You don't get yelled at if you don't block shots.
I know.
Yeah,
I know.
I play Thursday nights with a couple guys, too, and it's fun. Like we're the oldest team in the league now, so there's a lot of young guys who don't really understand the beer league etiquette yet. So you have to kind of keep them in the line a few times, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I know. We have to move down from like the A league to B league because it was like, man, that's like these guys are too competitive. Like, you know, the etiquette you're talking about, it's like, man, I just want to leave this game unscathed. I don't want to be losing my teeth or re-injured. I just want to score some goals and, you know, have some fun, but. Man, these young guys, man, they're taking this serious.
Yeah, they go.
I know. I have to admit, I played about 2-3 weeks ago, and the thing about this Thursday night league, the late night game's at 10 p.m.
Oh, so yeah, it's too late.
I'm just like, man, I've been swinging a hammer all day. Like, but I was like, oh, I better go out and burn some calories. And then these young kids, I don't know what they've been doing all day on social media or whatever. This guy back checks me and he's hacking me good ones. So then I turn around and I just like two hand him and knock a stick out of his hands. So I get a penalty for that. And then we're down a few goals. And then like there was a 50-50 puck with about 2 minutes left. And I was just like, I'm not going to get there first. I'm just going to finish my check on this guy.
Just steamroll them.
I just steamrolled him and he rolled. He was right in the corner. He went around the whole corner of the boards like a roller coaster. The ref pulls away, puts his hand up. I didn't even look at him. I just went straight to the dressing room and got undressed.
That was it.
I'm done, boy.
Get the warm shower.
Like,
yeah.
My wires are starting to get crossed. It's like, you're just like, oh man, I used to play this professionally. Now, like, these accountants are kicking my ass over the ice.
Oh man.
But it's a good time. I didn't play for like, I didn't skate for a good, like, I don't know, probably a good year and a half after. And I remember like when I, you know, linked up with some other pros in the area and everything, and nothing beats going into the dress room for sure. Yeah. I definitely feel like, so you feel like, so like you're comfortable in the dress room. I was like, yeah, this is my place. And nothing beats that. Definitely miss going to the rink for sure. You know, just having those good times. I remember you, me and Riles just laughing nonstop. And then then the business on the ice, you're just having this a gay old time, really. It was just like, and it's still like that. We got some good group of guys that I play with. And, We're managed to, you know, be a little competitive at times too. And it's a great time. It's a great sport. So definitely feel blessed.
Yeah, we talk about that a lot. Like that's the biggest thing I miss is the mornings, boys coming in, having a coffee in the room, shooting the shits. Like Riles always says, I was in Nasty's office more than I was anywhere. That's the one thing I miss more than anything. Just that part of it. I mean, I miss the game time, the fucking intensity, you miss the boys, and it's nice to men's league on Sundays. We play on Sundays, and you just don't really want to leave. Well, he does because he's like, I got to not drive an hour.
Well,
because he does.
Second hour
like,
to men's
league. He does. He really does. But it's like, that's, you're right. Like, you get in there, I get there an hour early before our game and kind of set the room up with the jerseys, like the loser equipment guy that I am. Pigeon.
Nasty stretching, got the high socks, all the nice underwear.
I'm old, T-Bird, dude. I'm going to be 41 this year. It's fucking nuts, man. Hey, fuck you. Hey, watch your mouth. You want to feel old? Peyton and Bryce are moms.
Cool.
Yeah.
Granddaddy.
Grabs over here.
24. They're 26
no
and 24. Way. Yeah, and I have a 9-year-old son. I have a 9-year-old son.
Yeah, I know you had a younger son for sure.
That's and he's great. A goalie. goalie.
He's nothing like that. Nasty.
Oh man,
he's got some issues, T-Bird.
I know. I'll be 40 in February, and I remember I used to sit next to John Slaney in the dressing room when I was the first rookie. And I remember I just used to give Slaney the gears and everything
for being old.
Oh yeah, just like, go drink some Metamucil, you old prick.
I remember that.
But I remember, like, John Slaney told me, like, it was probably my first couple weeks as a pro. It was like, he's like, it goes by pretty fast.
Wow.
He's like, yeah. I was like, you know, like, you're young and ignorant. He's like, yeah, whatever, man. Like, then I remember, I thought of that multiple times towards the end of my career. I was just like, wow, like, okay.
Slaney was right.
Does, yeah, man.
Chugging that Metamucil.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you get on that Metamucil there, T-Bird?
Yeah, exactly. I remember, man. Do you remember having, like, the coffee talks in the bathroom? And I think, like, maybe Rambo was hiding in the stalls with the feet up trying to, like,
when that was Snack, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. There with Don, it was Don Akbaria.
It wasn't proven, but I don't know. It was someone.
Yeah, somebody was.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I remember Rambo gave me I remember when those one pieces came out, and I just wasn't qualified to use one of those one pieces. So Rambo gave me, like, took one of Slane's CCM tacks out there. Had to practice with a wooden stick for a couple of weeks in the skate zone. Oh man.
He did that to Ryan Parent too, yeah, in the NHL. He came down and said, "Use a wooden stick."
Yeah,
poor guy
in training camp there. You know
what are you trying to say?
Yeah,
yeah.
A first round pick can't even use a one piece.
Oh man. Well, T-Bird, man, we appreciate you coming on with us, man. Spending some time. It's so nice to see your face and talk to you, and hopefully we can stay a little bit better touch here.
Yeah, absolutely.
But. I enjoyed having you as a player, man. You were awesome. Such a great guy. Obviously, Riley, say the same thing. Guys were roommates, but congrats, man, on a good, really good career. And you know, you made it to the show, like you said, and you're just a good man all around.
No, I appreciate it. I'll never forget my time in Philadelphia for sure. Like, I would love to get back sometime in the near future for sure. So I had a great time. It was a great organization. They were great to me. And like I said multiple times, I was definitely blessed. Met a lot of great people, just like you two guys. And I'm happy you guys are doing well and you're healthy. And maybe I'll go back and get my sleeve finished that I started in New
Jersey.
There
you
go. So yeah, right.
There you go.
We went through a little tattoo
a little friendly there
for a little bit there, but yeah. You know,
I can't stop now.
I know, right?
Nice to see you guys.
Believed.
Oh,
but yeah,
great.
No, met a lot of great guys, and I'm so happy you guys are doing this, and it's so good for the sports, and keep it up, being the great ambassadors for not only hockey, but mental health and all those good things. So wish you best, and happy holidays for sure. So
thanks, you too, brother.
Thanks, T-Bird. Appreciate you, man. Good seeing you. Big thank you to T-Bird, Tristan Grant, for hopping on.
So nice to see his face smiling. Oh, what a good dude, man. You don't, like, never forgot about him. It's just, like, think about him here and there, but just seeing him and talking to him, man, you just miss him, you know? Like, miss seeing him, and such a good dude.
Yeah, he's a fun guy. Yeah, I haven't seen his face like that for a long time, so I've texted back and forth a few times over the years, but it's great to... Yeah, it's great to chuckle and see him be goofy. And
he's a goofy
man. He was a funny dude.
He was awesome.
Good locker room guy. Tough as shit, man. I mean,
yeah,
talk about
he was tough.
Gamer.
Yeah.
Hit like a truck.
Yeah, he did. He did lay some people out. I forgot it. Yeah, he did.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
He's kind of like Ronaldo a bit.
Yeah.
Before Zach, you know, like he caught guys a lot with their heads down.
Yeah, he's a brick shithouse. So.
Yep.
Appreciate you, T-Bird.
Yep.
What else we got? It's that time, I think, Nasty.
Already?
We're there.
Is it time for Clear Rum questions? Mm-hmm. Brought to you by Clear Rum. Go to clearrum.com/shop and use the code NASTY2023 and you get 35% off your orders in PA only. But, Riggs,
Hey,
you just got to get it in you.
Get it in you. We're reloading.
We had to reload.
Studio presentation.
I drank it all.
Well,
I mean, it happens. You know,
how could you not?
I know. It's that good.
Leaving the cucumber behind, but you got all the other ones down the hatch.
I'm not a cucumber guy. Just cucumber. I can't eat them.
No? You look like a cucumber guy.
I've had this. I can stomach it. Yeah, I'm not going to crack those cucumbers because it's perfect right now until we get the new order in.
You don't want to have
you were supposed to bring today.
You can't have too many vegetables hitting the old.
You cannot. You, know. You cannot do that. Can't You'll do
throw
it.
Throw your body off.
Yeah, not going to do it.
The alcohol is one thing. You add the cukesy in there and your body you're throwing right off.
Yeah, I don't need the cukesies. I take them right out of the salads when I get them, boys. I'm not eating cucumbers. I am not doing that.
Don't like the crunch?
No. I just don't like it. I don't like the taste, to be honest with you. Yeah, it's not
fair enough.
Put them on your eyes, though.
Yeah, I do. Keep the bags out.
Keep the bags. Debo told me that trick. I use it once in a while.
That's why you look so young and youthful.
I don't know. Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Cucumber eye caps.
Yeah.
All right, Baller, we're ready.
Now we're ready for the clear questions.
Oh, yeah. Let's go.
We got Mike Pohl over on Twitter. What's the funniest exchange you've ever heard between a coach and an official?
Man.
You must have heard a bunch of those, eh? Nest?
Yeah. I'm trying to think of a really good one. Man. Whew, that's tough. I remember Lavi had a lot of good ones, but Billy Barber used to also.
He must have just drilled the refs.
I loved Billy because he would be like, all right, boys, you stay off the refs. Everybody stay off the refs. Puck would drop. He'd just start right away. Guys would just laugh. But, you know, he was so competitive. But I remember Lavi one time, and I think there's a clip of it because I think he was mic'd, and we're in Montreal, and the guy made a terrible call. And he was like, typical Montreal, you know, like telling the ref. But good God, over 26 years, I heard coaches giving it to refs all the time. I'm trying to think of one that really stands out, but that's probably one I remember where it really pissed the ref off because he said, typical Montreal, like you got screwed if you went in there, which seemed to go the other way a lot of the times. But I think that's probably one that I remember more than any that pops into my head right now. What about you?
Yeah, I'm drawing a blank, honestly. I'm scratching my head here. I mean, there's been so many of them, but a lot of times it's just like disgruntled coaches like calling the ref over just to get an opinion, and you know, might mutter something under their breath or whatever. Yeah. But I'm struggling with this one, Nest.
Ever grill the refs as a player?
Oh, all the time. I mean, I was always yelling at the refs. as well as everyone else. I was so jacked up on Mountain Dew and Sudafed. There was a couple refs, Justin Saint Laurent. Remember him?
Yeah.
Especially Justin. In the minors. I used to give it to him all the time. He didn't like me very much. But I'm a grocery divider and I'm trying to stay in the game and trying to keep the boys in it, and you know, obviously, like, being a ref's a thankless job, and you can't do anything right. So, I'm sitting there just trying to pick them apart, and poor guys, But yeah, there was a lot of banter.
Yes, tons of it.
Yeah, but I can't even remember what I said half the time. I was trying to like ride that line of like being engaged.
Yeah.
Yelling, but like, because you could easily cross that line and tell them to right F off right out of the gate and then you'd be toast. But it was always an adventure, to say the least.
For sure.
We got Ben Shod over on Twitter. We hear about dangerous playing surfaces in the NFL. Was there ever a professional rink that was dangerous and or really shitty?
Professional.
Right out of the gate, I was thinking in Johnstown, the 3 foot drop off, getting on the ice. You want to roll your ankle every time you step on the ice.
I've been there two times and I've seen a guy fall twice.
Really?
Like coming out, and everybody's warned.
Oh yeah,
like
it's crazy.
Everybody's like, "Hey, careful that first step."
Oh, it's a large
literally
first step.
Three.
Yeah,
it's like, yeah, that one. I didn't know you played in Johnstown.
Well, I played against. Yeah,
I didn't know you.
Yeah, I was with the Dayton Bombers in the East Coast.
I was going to say that's pretty dangerous grounds right there when you're stepping onto the ice because you know, you guys come running out, and you jump. You got a bit of a drop there. Yeah, in the NHL, I can't think of everywhere it's like, oh, the ice is so bad.
So
like,
bad.
Watch out, you're going to get hurt. Or really the American League that I can remember, but you're right about the Johnstown drop there.
Yeah.
It's pretty dangerous.
Yeah. I got two others, and they were in the Central Hockey League. One was in El Paso, Texas.
Yeah.
Where it was so warm down there, and the locker rooms were like outside of the hockey rink, and there was just so much heat going inside and outside of this building that it was just pure fog. Literally couldn't you couldn't see, like you couldn't see like 10 feet, so they would have to blow the whistle, let the fog settle, and then they would pick the game back up. And there was another one, I want to say it was in Austin, somewhere in the Central League again, a hot place, right? And yeah. The ice was just couldn't stay frozen, so there's little patches of like sand popping up, but they'd come and patch them up, and it was just like, talk about like minor leagues, like you want to get the hell out of these leagues, like,
yeah, right.
But at the NHL level, I certainly don't remember anything like that. Yeah. It was obviously much higher standard.
Yeah, a little bit higher.
Good question, though.
Yeah.
We got one final one from Greg Bond, 822 over on Instagram. Which decade had some of the best Flyers teams?
Man. Well, obviously in the 70s. Yeah. They won the cup.
Probably start there.
But, yeah. But I mean, even in the 80s, you know, losing, you know, twice in the finals with, you know, Hexies,
yep.
Rickier, and the year Pelly was playing, they went to the finals and lost. And then, you know, they had really good teams when JR and Tuck and all them, like, blew the 3-1 lead against the Devils.
Mm-hmm.
Those years, the teams were pretty good as well. I guess, I mean, the 80s, to get to the finals twice, it's hard to do.
Yeah,
you know, to get there and win, but they got there twice. So
70s,
those
80s?
Teams are pretty good. Yeah, I mean, you know, Keenan was coaching and he was pushing the buttons. You know, obviously a lot of guys don't like him, but they got there. And you know, if you win, it's probably still nice to get there, even though you don't win. But those teams made it. You know, like 2 out of 3 years, I think, if I'm not mistaken, in the 80s. So I would say then.
Yeah. I would agree.
Not the 2020s, some of the teams Chuck built?
I would say maybe not so much, unfortunately, for those guys.
No dynasties?
But, yeah, not dynasties yet, but, you know.
They were the foundation of dynasties. I saw your boy Rex using a Tovey and Pracky.
I saw it, too. Saw a couple guys grab it.
Dishing
say,
it.
What is this? But he was dishing to. He was dishing a pill with
he was. Saw Jared Bull in the background there saucing some pucks, too, there.
Bolsey? Is he a coach there?
He is. Must be. I didn't know.
I didn't know that. I know one thing. He avoided you like the plague when you were playing. And that guy was tough. He fought everybody. He wouldn't fight you.
He was probably just a bad trade-off for him. Coach probably told him not to.
No. Nah. I think he was afraid.
Could be.
But, yeah, afraid. Rex using that. We're going to get someone.
Yeah.
That stick's unbelievable. So...
I'm getting a fresh one for the alumni game.
Yes, you are.
Texting with Aaron.
Should get
day.
All the alumni guys using that
we
thing.
Should. Get a couple dozen in
we'll
there.
Work on that. We've got to get Richard on the horn here. Coach. Oh, coach, send those in for the boys.
I think we can get Richie. Nice, big, thick palette made.
Nope.
Why not?
Maybe, yeah. We'll definitely get Rick Bone one. We're on it. Toby's coming.
Let's do it.
All right. Riggs, don't forget, coming up in the new year, February 17th.
Can't wait.
You know why?
Because
we're going to MetLife. We're going to MetLife Stadium, February 17th, to play the Devils. Fans of Philly, the best travel agency for sports there is. It's not even close. And it's going to be fun.
It might be
chilly.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fun. I'll make sure I'm warmed up.
Bring a couple toques.
Yeah, I can bring some clear rum with me.
Yeah.
Is what I'm going to be bringing.
Bring a little flask?
Yeah, a little flask, probably. I might have one if I can sneak in the building with it. But,
a little cucumber sprinkled in there?
I might. Hey, listen, if I have to, I will, because it's good. And right after that outdoor game, a month later, we're St. Paddy's Day.
Oh.
Can't wait for that
birthday
trip
weekend.
Yeah, that's right. Boston for the Bruins and the Flyers. That's going to be a lot of fun. Some green beer.
Whew.
And you got to have a sip. You said you would, maybe one sip, just because it's St. Patty's Day and our birthdays.
A little celery juice?
We're going to... Celsy?
Well, you say green juice.
Yeah, well, mix a little mush in there then, because that's about the only thing. But, yeah, man, fans of Philly can't wait on those two trips within a month.
I know.
You're going to need some time to recover. You're going to need those 3 weeks.
I'm
going to
need a rest.
You're going to need it, boys. But I can't wait for that.
Me too. It's going to be a good time. Joe. Always is.
Can't wait.
Until next week for 138, be sure to tune in, subscribe, comment, ask a few questions. Anything about nasties, get up. Feel free to reach out. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See ya.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com